This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Corn continued to fall, with September falling 19 and a quarter yesterday to 366. December corn fell 16 and a quarter to 376 and a half, while March corn fell 13 and a quarter to 390. Soybeans had a rebound day. August contract finished up 10 and a half to 872. September beans finished 9.5 cents higher to 876 and a quarter, and November beans finished 9 3/4 cents higher to 889. Moving on, Chicago wheat for September gained a quarter cent to 472. December wheat lost a half cent to 475 3/4, and March of next year wheat lost 0.75 cents to 483 1/4. Soybean meal for August gained 590 to 297.80. September bean meal gained 580 to 299.20, while October bean meal gained 570 to $300.90 a ton. Finally, soybean oil for August lost 47 cents Tuesday to 29.17. September bean oil lost 49 cents to also 29.17. And October bean oil lost 50 cents to 29.29. So to recap, corn fell 13 and a quarter to 19 and a quarter. Soybeans gained 9.5 to 10 and a half. Wheat gained a quarter cent to down 3/4 cents. Bean meal gained 570 to 590. And bean oil lost 47 to 50 cents. Now we'll turn it over to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Tuesday's Reported Grain Price and Trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The Atlantic Country grain prices are mixed on Tuesday afternoon. Corn is still reeling from Monday's USDA report. Soybeans found strength from the lowest planted acreage in 8 years and a delay in tariffs against Chinese goods. In northern western Atlantic Country, grain yields quoted shell corn bids down 19 cents at 328 to 364. Soybean bids are up 13 to 17 cents at 809 to 825. In central Illinois, country grain yields quoted shell corn bids down 19 cents at 351 to 375. Soybean bids are up 10 to 11 cents at 821 to 872. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 24 cents at 310 to 393. Soybean bids were 13 cents lower at 8 1/4 to 859. And wheat bids were steady at 431 to 472. Soybean processor cash soybean bids were 10 to 13 cents higher at 847 to 889. Basis was steadied up 3 at 4200 to option the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $291.20 to $304.20 a ton, up $5.80 a ton, with basis unchanged at $800 to $5 over the September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were down 19 to 26 cents at $3.74 to $3.94, with basis steady to down 7 at 8 over to 28 over the September. Illinois River Barge Loving Elevators quoted to producer corn bids 19 to 26 cents lower at $3.19 to $3.76. Will basis unchanged to down 7 at 4700 to 10 over the September. Illinois soybeans ended up 11 cents at 836 to 846, with basis up 1 at 5300 to 4300 the November. Wheat prices were steady at 422 to 433, with basis steady at 50 under to 39 under the September. East St. Louis barge loading tomatoes placer producer corn bid 17 to 22 cents lower at 357 to 358. Their soybean prices are mostly 11 cents higher, quotations at 873 to 874. Soft wheat closed mostly steady at 466 to 467, and Milo ended the day down 19 cents at 410 to 411. Contract bids producers for October and November, Lurie corn in the northern part of the state at 325 to 367, soybeans at 819 to 859. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 349 to 372, soybeans at 827 to 874. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 316 to 388, soybeans at 818 to 857. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Tuesday's livestock futures finished mostly lower on the Mercantile Exchange. Live cattle for August lost $4.50 down to $100.55. October live cattle were also down $4.50 to $99.25. And December live cattle were also down $4.50 to $103.95. Moving on to feeder cattle, August feeders lost $6.67 Tuesday to $127.72. September feeders lost $6.75 to $127.20. And October feeders lost $6.20 to $127.55. Finally, lean hogs for August lost 17 cents to $79. October lean hogs lost $2.50 Tuesday to $64.57. And finally, December lean hogs lost 75 cents to $63.02. To recap Tuesday's livestock futures, live cattle were down $4.50. Feeders were down $6.75 to $6.20. And lean hogs were down $2.50 to 17 cents. Now we'll take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations are 200-pound pork carcass traded $1.26 higher. In a range of $58.52 to $72.50 with a weighted average carcass price of $70.01. In the Illinois direct sow port, slaughter sow price were firm with good demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 33 to 36, 4 to 5 weighted 34 to 40, 5 to 6 weighted 36 to 44, and over 600 pounds 37 to $48. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points are $1 to $2 lower with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $41 to $49. Receipts for our Illinois barrels and gilts up to $18,230. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on a dress basis traded at $169. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 403 loads traded. Calculations for 10-pound pork carcass was $89.21, which is 98 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $226.36, which is $7.74 higher, while select carcasses are $200.58, which is $2.79 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 116,000 compared to 118,000 last week, 119,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 480,000 compared to 477,000 last week, and 470,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys at the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And in Ag News for part two of your Wednesday morning Ag show, Monday's WASDE report is certainly raising lots of question marks. Monday's crop production report from the Department of Agriculture predicts a 19% drop in soybean production from last year. Seems pretty reasonable. Meanwhile, the USDA expects corn growers to decrease their production only 4% from last year, forecasted at 13.9 billion bushels. Area for soybeans harvest is forecasted at 75.9 million acres, with planted area for the nation estimated at 76.7 million acres, down 4% from the June estimate and down 14% from last year. Acres planted to corn is at 90 million acres. That's down 2% from the June estimate, but up 2% from last year. The figures include the information stemming from a resurvey of planted acres. The data surprised commodity markets, as traders say the numbers are higher than expected for corn production. Meanwhile, the monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand Report, reflecting its data and the Crop Production Report, lowered the season average corn price a dime to $3.60 a bushel. The season average soybean price was unchanged at $8.40 a bushel. And while at Ag Day yesterday at the State Fair, I had a chance to talk with Illinois Farm Bureau President Rich Giebert. Here, Rich and I talk about the WASDE report and how Farm Bureau members across the state are highly disappointed in the new numbers. Rich, the WASDE report came out, and those numbers really don't add up, do they?
They sure don't, and yesterday when I got it on my phone, I was in a meeting, and shortly after that, my phone lit up with messages from our members that called me that were really disappointed, but probably the better word is frustrated with the NAS report that come out, saying that all the corn acres that were planted, but moreoverly, what the yield projection was by that came out of USDA really frustrates a number of our members. And, you know, I had one member tell me, he says, you know, I'm standing here on the back porch and I'm looking at my corn crop here in Northern Illinois where it's flat and black. and I don't see 190 bushel corn. So, you know, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and I'll take that opportunity week after next when I have an opportunity to sit down with Secretary Perdue and ask him how these calculations come about and really the validity of the report. But it just shows the frustration of our members after the first report come out and the second report that they don't have, in my opinion, the near confidence as what they once had in those important USDA reports. But we'll see where that goes from here and have those conversations.
It almost seems like that to have any real certainty, it's going to be when the farmers are putting it in the bin now.
Well, I think it's going to come even after that. If you look at a couple other times before, you know, you take the 2012 drought, you look at the 93 flood, it was January or March before they finally got their arms around all the numbers and put the actual numbers to rest, you might say, and got them out to the countryside long after a number of those bushels have been priced or delivered to the elevator, which is a real disappointment for our members that really at this, after, you know, sixth or seventh year, the farm economy, we need every cent that we can get out of a bushel of corn, beans, or wheat.
And again, that was President of the Illinois Farm Bureau, Rich Giebert, at the Illinois State Fair Ag Day. Moving on now into other ag news from around the country, Tyson Foods is pledging to pay employees and rebuild a Holcomb, Kansas plant after a fire partially destroyed the facility. In a news release, Tyson officials say they are still assessing the damage and say the plant will be shut down indefinitely, but will be rebuilt at the same location. Employees were asked to report to work on Monday for informational meetings and have told local reporters the plant is expected to be closed for 6 to 8 weeks. Roughly 1,200 employees at the facility on Friday night were evacuated and no injuries were reported. More than 3,500 employees work at the facility. Tyson says the full-time active team members at the facility will be paid weekly until production resumes. Tyson Fresh Meats Group President Steve Stouffer says Tyson has built in some redundancy to handle situations like this and will be using other plants to keep the supply chain full. Tyson Foods operates 6 plants in Kansas, employing more than 5,600 people, paying $268 million in wages last year. In our last national story on this Wednesday morning, the Trump administration will delay part of a planned tariff increase on China until December now. The U.S. Trade Representative's office made the announcement yesterday that the administration would not implement the planned tariffs. Instead, the tariffs would be implemented on December 15th. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says certain products are even being removed from the tariff list based on health, safety, national security, and other factors and will not face the additional tariffs of 10%. The move likely gives Lighthizer more time to negotiate with China, which the two sides are set to meet next month in Washington. However, the tariffs threaten to, again, stall the negotiations as China responded by announcing a halt of purchases of U.S. agriculture products. President Trump claims the delay is part of an effort to avoid the impact of the tariffs on holiday shopping. However, the two sides did talk over the phone this week, and Trump called the talks positive, adding a deal could be coming soon. Moving on now into State of Illinois Ag News, yesterday, Tuesday, was Ag Day at the Illinois State Fair. Here we'll learn what State Ag Director John Sullivan has been hearing from farmers this summer.
You know, it's just been a difficult year. I mean, as I walk around the grounds, I walk through the livestock buildings here and talking to folks and, you know, asking them how things are going or how things look in their areas. You know, it's kind of amazing how resilient farmers are, which is not a surprise to me, but even given the tough situations that they're under. Talked to a gentleman that was up north where I can't remember which county he was in, but he got about, I think what he said, 40% of his corn planted this year. And I mean, he had a lot of acres that didn't get planted. it, and you know what kind of an effect that was going to have on him and his operation. I mean, he was concerned, and yet on the same hand, you know, he felt you know, he's thankful he got planted what he got planted. So just the resilience is quite remarkable and amazing. And you know, my message is, has always been, you know, what can the Illinois Department of Agriculture do to help you? You know, what is there, you know, tell me what we could be doing to make things easier for you. You know, whether it's trying to relay information out to the federal government, to the USDA, which I've had several opportunities to do that, and that's been very satisfying to just be able to be that that transition for folks.
Again, that was State Ag Director John Sullivan, who was appointed a State Ag Director back in January. In other news from Ag Day yesterday at the State Fair, I had an opportunity to speak with Aaron Johnson, Vice President of Farm Credit Illinois. Here, Aaron and I talk about current credit conditions, as well as the Fresh Roots and Beginning Farmer programs that have been a part of Farm Credit Illinois for a little over a year.
Well, it's an interesting year, isn't it? We haven't had a spring like this since 1974, really. So we came out of 2018 very strong. Our members had a good year last year. We had a big crop for in most areas and marketing opportunities. And so we really started the year in a very solid position, and then 2019 hit. Now we've got Prevent Plant crop insurance acres and acres that we've never seen Prevent Plant before. We've had a lot of replant this year with crop insurance also, and now we've got rain like the one that came through yesterday that hit some people way too hard and missed others completely. And so we're going to go into this fall not knowing what we're going to have and coming out of the harvest and what's going to happen with the market. So it's going to be one of those years where we're just going to have to work with operations on an individual basis.
And that also seems to be the case with the WASDE report. It had some changes in the soybeans, but says that there is more planted acreage of corn than there was last year, which in a way that math doesn't really even add up.
Yeah, there are a number of things right now that aren't really adding up to what we're normally used to. So we're just going to have to work with the experts all fall and see what we can come up with and then make the best decisions we can going into the winter.
And one of those programs you also have going on is the Fresh Roots program. And being a young farmer in a year like this could be pretty taxing. So how has that Fresh Roots program been there to help those younger farmers?
Yeah, I think Fresh Roots might have come on at the perfect time for us. It was a new program that we designed and brought in February of 2018. And it has lower interest rates and lower credit standards for the young farmers, which is 40 years and younger, or farming less than 10 years. It's young and beginning to utilize, as well as some assistance with FSA guarantee fees, should they be necessary. And then the biggest part of the program, really, from our aspect, is the learning incentives, where we're having informational classes, and we pay each farm operation up to $2,000 to come to the classes. The importance of 1231 financial statements and cash flows and business plans to help them when they get the opportunity to grow to make the decisions that they want to make.
And as we move forward and as other farmers might be faced with some difficulty here come fall and maybe even into spring of 20, how could they take advantage of that Young Farmers Program?
They can contact any of the loan officers at any of our 14 locations in the southern 60 counties of Illinois or on the website at www.farmcreditil.com. And we have about $180 million lent in the program, and we are closing in on $1 million of learning incentives paid to the young farmers, young and beginning farmers, since February of 2018. So the program's off and rolling, and we'd love to hear from anyone interested.
All right. Thank you so much, Aaron. That was Aaron Johnson here, Executive Vice President with Farm Credit Illinois at the Illinois State Fair. And finally, in our last story from the State Fair, the Department of Agriculture back in June set aside a plot on the fairgrounds to educate fairgoers on hemp. 8 CBD plants and 100 industrial hemp plants were planted next to the U of I Master Gardeners, located on 8th Street behind the swine barns. The two types of plants can easily be spotted. The CBD variety needs space to branch out to produce more buds for oil. The industrial strains, on the other hand, are planted close and compact so they will grow tall and skinny, producing long, straight stems for ideal fiber and herd production. Hemp has a long history in the United States, and Americans were once legally bound to grow it, during the colonial era and early republic. Today, hemp is used to make a variety of products, from healing oils to textiles to hempcrete, which is used as a material in construction. It's important to note that hemp has zero psychotropic effects when consumed and became completely legal with passage of the 2018 Farm Bill. An Illinois Department of Agriculture representative will be giving presentations at the hemp plot daily at the fair from 1 till 3 in the afternoon, as well as showcasing items made from hemp. There will also be an educational display inside the Illinois Department of Agriculture tent, which is open daily from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. Moving on now to state news from the Department of Agriculture and NASS. We'll recap the state crop progress and condition report that was released on Sunday. There were 6.5 days suitable for field work last week. Statewide, the average temperature was 74.5 degrees, or a half degree above normal. Precipitation averaged 0.041 of an inch, or 0.5 inch below normal. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 20% very short, 42% short, 37% adequate, and 1% surplus. The subsoil moisture supply was rated at 11% very short, 35% short, 52% adequate, and 2% surplus. Corn silking as of Sunday was at 93%. Corn dough was at 42%, compared to 89% last year and 76% for the 5-year average. Corn condition is at 5% very poor, 16% poor, 39% fair, 36% good, and 4% excellent. Soybeans blooming as of Sunday were at 80%, compared to 99% last year, and 95% for the 5-year average. Soybean setting pods as of Sunday were at 49%, compared to 89% last year, and 79% for the 5-year average. The soybean condition was at 6% very poor, 17% poor, 38% fair, 35% good, and 4% excellent. Also, last week, the USDA approved Governor Pritzker's request that all 102 counties in Illinois be declared ag disaster areas. This move allows for farmers to qualify for emergency low-interest loans to help continuing farming operations. Director of Agriculture John Sullivan says the decision by the USDA may help garner more attention to the problem. And if any farmers are interested in the federal assistance, you could check in with your local county FSA office. In our last story about state USDA news, the Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency's State Executive Director, William Graff, announced that Greene and Scott counties will now be accepting applications for the Emergency Conservation Program to address damages from flooding in the spring. The approved conservation practices under this authorization include removing debris from farmland and restoring conservation structures and other installations. The program will assist producers with recovery costs to restore the agricultural land to pre-disaster conditions. Approved applicants may receive up to 75% of the cost of approved restoration activities. Producers with damage from such events must apply for assistance before reconstructive work can begin. The FSA's National Environmental Policy Act and Environmental Compliance Review process is required to be completed before any actions are taken. Submitting an application after reconstructive work has been completed may not qualify for the program. FSA county committees will evaluate applications based on an on-site inspection of the damaged land, taking into consideration the type and extent of damage. An on-site inspection does not guarantee that cost-share funding will be provided. And for more information on the program, you can contact the Greene County FSA office at 217-942-5402 or contact them by the website farmers.gov/recover. In other news around the state, coming up a week from tomorrow, the Illinois wheat producers and processors are invited to attend an Illinois Wheat Association annual Illinois Wheat Forum, which again will be held Thursday, August 22nd, at the Oakville Community Center in Oakville, Illinois. Attendees will have the opportunity to learn about wheat agronomy, crop disease, insect management, market, and weather outlooks. Participants will also have the chance to visit several exhibits featuring seed companies, millers, elevators, crop protection services, and other service industries. Registration is on site and begins at 8 a.m. with a session beginning at 9. The forum will conclude at 3 in the afternoon and lunch is included. Registration fees for Illinois Wheat Association members is only $20 per person. The general public may attend for $40 per person. CEU credits for certified crop advisors are being applied for and will be announced at a later date. For more information and an agenda, you can visit the Illinois Wheat Association website at illinoiswheat.org or call Mike Doherty at 309-557-3268. The Illinois Wheat Association is a member organization serving all aspects of the Illinois wheat industry. Also coming up a week from Thursday is the Half Century of Progress show at the Rantoul National Aviation Center in Rantoul. If you need more information on the event, you can visit their website, halfcenturyofprogress.com. And the show again will be held Thursday, August 22nd through Sunday, August 25th at the Rantoul Air Force Base. And hopefully here in future farm shows, we'll have more information about the event. And that just about does it for this Wednesday morning Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news that you'd like to have aired here on the morning or afternoon ag shows, you can send that to me at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So for this Wednesday morning, August 14th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.